Welcome to our 78th lesson in the book of Daniel. And I've entitled this, The Addendum, Iron and Clay, Post-Humanism. I really did not intend to have this addendum. Those of you who listened to my last lesson understood that to be the last lesson. And that's exactly what I said at the end of it, because I really did not expect to continue. But then I remembered that as a teacher, I also need from time to time to show you how I apply scriptures. And I think nothing is more important to our situation today, in the midst of these so-called pandemic and force injections, for us to really understand not only what is occurring today, but what the Bible guidance shows us about where today is going. Now, I still am not going to be naming names, naming countries, anything of that nature. But if that's what you're looking for, this is not the lesson for you. You need to go to some other site where they will gladly satisfy your idle curiosity. The Bible doesn't give us that kind of information specifically because it's not here yet. And so there's nothing I can say to that topic that would then interest you. However, what do the events today tell us about who we are, where we came from, and how is this illustrated in the scriptures? And that is what the Bible is all about, being pertinent to you in your time, in your situation. Because if the Bible is not pertinent to you, then what's the point? Fire insurance? The hope so? I hope I said and did the right thing, kind of salvation, so that no matter what I do, I'll end up in the good place. That's false religion. That's not scripture. That's not true Christianity. But I think that when we look at Daniel as a whole, and we're going to look at two or three parts of it that I think are extremely pertinent to what is occurring in our time and where our time is going. Because the wonderful thing about Satan is he doesn't care if you know. You can go dig up all your conspiracies, but Satan really doesn't care if you know. He's not trying to hide it. He's throwing a lot of noise out there to keep everybody confused. But the information is publicly available and always has been. People, they try to be conspiratorial, but obviously it doesn't work too good. But Satan certainly creates a lot of noise to get people chasing a lot of what we call rabbit trails. And if anybody's ever hunted rabbits in the woods, you know they have trails everywhere. But which one is the fresh one? Which one is the good one? This is what the Bible helps us to do. To pick out Satan's true trail from all the false ones he throws out there to keep people confused and off balance. And so we're going to be looking at iron and clay. And the term I've thrown out there is post-humanism. And what we've done to set the tone for this teaching is we've included a quote. Because just like I said, Satan is doing this openly. And now they have revealed themselves, and everybody is writing about this. You just don't know about it because it's not on your latest, favorite, greatest informational propaganda outlet, masquerading as news. So the masses, they're doing the sports, they're doing the YouTube, they're doing their Facebook, they're doing whatever it is they need to do to keep themselves amused and entertained. And they will, of course, be caught by surprise. But those who are looking, we will not be caught by surprise. And those who are doing certainly are not doing it in the dark. They just know that nobody cares. Because Satan knows, and God has told us, that he has let them go. He will let them do as they will do for two reasons that we've discussed in Daniel. One is to show how exceedingly sinful they are and don't care. And the other, so that God's salvation people can shine like stars in the night. Though they die by the thousands, they will still shine for all eternity. Because to be absent from this life is to be present with Christ. I'm not sure that's a downside. But in this quote, in the 21st century, the third big project of humankind will be to acquire for us divine powers of creation and destruction and upgrade Homo sapiens into Homo Deus or Deus. Now the upgrade, that's transhumanism. Homo sapiens, that's rational man. That is reasonable man. That is modern man. And Homo Deus, that's man as God. That's post-humanism. The rational man is humanism. Now, I've added those terms in there to highlight, to illustrate where we're going. Now, well, briefly review two slides as a prologue. You've seen these slides in our last lesson. One is the schematic, showing a rough outline of some of the major events of the last set of 7 years. That last 7 years, which encompasses the tribulation and great tribulation, where it encompasses the rebuilding of the temple and the reinstitution of the sacrificial system by the false Jews, thinking that they're honoring God when actually they're condemning themselves. And if that confuses you, you need to go back and look at or listen to our last two or three lessons to understand why that is so, where I went into detail explaining why any reinstitution of the sacrificial system post-Christ is putting him to an open shame, is a rejection of God's presentation of Christ as the answer for your sin. And we see that we have this overlap, 30-day overlap. So just before the first 3.5 years in, we have this 30-day period, transition period, in which something happens to the beast. And that would be the Antichrist. And we'll talk more about this as we go through this. but not in as much detail as I've gone into in the past two or three lessons in discussing this. But he's mortally wounded, and then somehow he comes back to life. And he erects an image in the Holy of Holies, and he proclaims himself God. And hence, we have the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation. And as that draws to an end, we have the regional powers of the earth, because the Antichrist does not control the whole earth. He only controls his region. And the other regions have played ball, but now they're not playing ball. And they're coming together at Armageddon, Har Megiddo, north of Jerusalem. And they are going to battle. And then Christ returns. And with the word, they're gone. And henceforth, there is the rapture of the lost, and there's the ushering in of the saved into the new kingdom. Of course, the church is not here because the church has been raptured out at the very beginning of this time period with the same call that called the true Jews out of every nation, tongue, and kindred where they had been hidden, so that they don't even know themselves who they are. And if you notice, we spent a great deal of time in the past lesson, and it's just one verse, trying to understand the language. The right hand, which is not even in most translations. They're just talking about you getting a great reward, be happy, don't bother, no worries. But that is not what the Hebrew is saying. It's talking about you stand at my right hand. And this metaphor runs throughout the Old Testament. To be on the favored side is to be on the right hand. Christ was told by the Father, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Psalms 110, verse 1, in fact, the entire psalm. When Christ judges the nations at his second coming, the sheep he places at his right hand, and they enter the millennial kingdom. The goats, on the other hand, are at the left hand. Not the best place to be because they all get raptured into hell immediately. Thus, Daniel's final end, his lot, is to stand at Christ's right hand as a faithful slave who will need not be ashamed, cast into the lake of fire. That's not, see, he misses that, as do all the saved. We are at his right hand. And one's inheritance, one's lot, is already determined by the Father from before the creation. Remember when the two apostles, their mother said, you know, I want my sons to one sit at your left hand and one to sit at your right hand in heaven. Because that's what moms do. They advocate for their spoiled kids. And we saw how well that worked out for Eve and Cain. Christ says, you know, that's not mine to give. That's already been determined. But if they want such high honor, are they able to do what I'm going to do? Oh, yeah, we can do that. Of course, they didn't have a clue what he was going to do. And if you're saying or thinking dying on the Stotterus, that's not what he's talking about. That's just to prove that he has controlled his flesh. He didn't pay for sin directly on the Stotros. He paid for sin while he was on the Stotros for the last 3 hours of it, being separated from the Father and the Father pouring his wrath out upon the Son's spirit, his soul. We didn't even get to see any of that. We can't even imagine that experience. And how did something that happened that we couldn't even see last for all eternity, but in time period took about 3 hours? We don't know. it's a mystery to us, and will always be a mystery to us, because it was between two infinite beings, and we're just never going to be able to fully grasp all of that. But the duty of all people is to fear God, not walk in fear and trembling that he's going to kill us at any moment. It's not that kind of fear. It's that fear when the cop pulls you over and he's going to write you a ticket because you know you deserve it. And you're in awe of somebody being able to do that to you. We're in awe of God. But we are covered in Christ's righteousness. And we have his new nature, and we want to keep his commandments. Without the new nature, keeping the commandments is a burden and a failure. Romans 7. But with his new nature, empowered by his Spirit, we are learning and growing and developed into maturity, able and willing and desiring to keep his commandments. I don't mean the don'ts, but I mean the positives. Who wants to murder? We want to help. And all the saved will be with Christ forever in eternity future with Daniel. And of course, that's how Revelation is. That's how the Bible ends. And it's a great place to be. And like I said, that's where I ended the lesson. But then it dawned on me, what about today? Let's look at today. Let's look at Daniel for today. Certain events show the modernization of Daniel not remotely considered nor understood even a decade ago. Now, I'm kind of getting up there. I'm an older gaffer now. So I'm kind of getting up there in years. I was saved in the mid-ish 1970s. Knocked around the Bible a few years before that, but was lost. But understood, especially in my studies afterwards, the Christian view of these things, the old style dispensational eschatological premillennial view of these things. Now, I don't mean the post-millennial Gnosticism or the amillennial Gnosticism, which has been around for a couple of millennia, with ties even further back than that. But when we looked at eschatology, we looked upon, well, they're erecting an idol. Yes, we're all going to bow down to an idol. Like, that's ever going to be seriously happening. Okay. Well, if you don't, I'm going to kill you. Well, you might, but once again, how do you get people to want to do that other than threat of violence? And we know that threats of violence don't work in the long term. They just fail. And this is not what Satan wants anyway. I mean, he's going to wipe out most of the population. He's already told us that. Go and put 50,000 on the earth, period. Because that's about how much he can effectively control. More than that, and he doesn't control well. Because we're not very controllable. Because we're sinners. Mankind is sinner. Which means they're always in a state of rebellion. Against everybody. Everything. But what we didn't have a clear understanding of, because it wasn't really talked about in the open in those days, is this whole idea of scientism. Now, you'll go back and you'll look up scientism, and in the most obvious examples that will pop up on your search engine, because remember, they're controlling what you see on the search engines. That's not truth, that's controlled information. Is scientism is nothing more than applying the scientific method to everything. All disciplines, all aspects of life. But really, that's what you've been trained to do, but that's not what scientism is. Scientism is the conceptual goal managing and controlling the information, controlling the results. It's not the observational measurability, repeatability. Let's go where the data shows us. Science, that for the most part is long gone. That existed for a brief moment in time. And now it becomes the handmaiden to scientism. And they take those facts and they fit it into their conceptual framework. And of Christians, if you're honest, you do exactly the same thing. You take those facts, because they're undisputable, they are facts, and we plug them into a biblical conceptual framework. There's nothing the matter with that. Facts tell you absolutely nothing without a conceptual framework. So we're going to look at how this has impacted modern man. We're going to take a brief look at several visions events in Daniel and compare them to modern events and trends. We're going to understand the implication of the image of the beast, especially for the living. And we have a different perspective on today's trends that may build towards Satan's coming dystopia. Now, he's going to say utopia. And the lost will talk about this great coming utopia, this great reset, this building back better. But it's going to be a dystopia, just so you know. Because the millennial kingdom is Christ's utopia. And the sinners even managed to destroy that. Because, once again, Christ gives them up so that they may show themselves exceedingly sinful and worthy of judgment by their own actions. Now, we have scriptural biases. The Bible is God's word and thus absolute, unchanging truth. But you have to use exegetical, hermeneutical, interpretive, normative methods to understand what it is you're reading. You have to understand their society. You have to understand history. You have to understand language. You have to understand their languages to some extent. Not saying we're all going to be doctoral prepared textual critics or historical gurus, but we have to strive there. Your goal is to just sit in the pew and have somebody dump data into your head, and then you have to do nothing but try and remember it for 10 minutes. It's not going to work well for you. I'm not saying you're not going to be saved. I'm just saying that pretty much describes where most people are at. And that's what they get out of it. A feel-good, what was that he talked about? I don't know. I forgot. And God's word will occur when he determines. Believers are to avoid the delusion. If we turn to Habakkuk, because this really governs us. Chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets. For he may run who reads it, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now the unrighteous, their soul will be puffed up, because they're saying he ain't coming. Where's the promise of his coming? It ain't ever happened. Second Peter. Well, Peter says, yeah, it's coming. You ever read Habakkuk? And the righteous shall live faith, out of their faith. Now, what are the fallacies of modern worldview? What are the fallacies of scientism? The world's one religion right now. Because scientism is exactly that. Now, it's not me labeling this. This is Rupert Sheldrake. And he's not a Christian. He wrote a book, Science Delusion. And he developed these 10 fallacies. 10. Of scientism. And if the lost can see that scientism is a religion, why don't the saved see it? He says the universe is mechanical, mechanistic, material. In other words, it's only empirical. There's nothing more than what you see. Which you can't even prove that by its own statement. So already it's a fallacy. But this is how they function. Matter is unconscious. In other words, matter is matter. It's just inert. It's just there. It just does whatever it's supposed to do. There's nothing behind it. And that's going to be another corollary here. The laws of nature, the constants, are fixed. Speed of light is fixed. The fact that we can measure that it varies is immaterial. We're going to ignore that. The fact that we can measure the gravity constant varies. Thus, it's not a constant. It's not fixed. We're going to ignore that. And we're just going to agree to some abstract value and ignore that it's not really a constant. And so we see that they even lie to themselves. The total matter energy is unchanging. The conservation of matter and energy flows from one to the other, but it's a fixed amount and never changes. There's no new energy being introduced. There's no new matter being created. Of course, you've got to ask yourself, what did he make the fish and loaves out of when he fed the 5,000? Yeah. The universe is purposeless. It's random. Well, if the processes are random, that's not entropy. Entropy means it's going from order to disorder. Why is it going slow? If it's random, we have no expectation that the next second will even be here, will even exist. Random is absolutely that. It means it's absolutely unpredictable. It can be up, it can be down. And yet, the material evolutionary viewpoint is that these are random mutations that always occur and usually occur in a positive manner. Well, that's not random. Biology is one's genes, one's DNA, no soul. Your DNA is your complete picture. The fact that your DNA only tells how to build proteins, it doesn't say when to turn certain proteins on, when to turn them off, when to turn growth hormones on, when to turn them off, when you develop puberty characteristics. That's not all genes. They don't know what does that. Memories are stored in one's brain. That's a materialistic viewpoint. They're stored in the cells of the brain. How? We don't know. It's a mystery. But they got to be there. And of course, the corollary to that is one's mind is inside the skull. Well, once again, mind is not empirical. It's not testable. How do you know that? Only mechanical or evolutionary processes exist. And thus, only mechanistic medicine works. Now, he challenged these in a TED Talk, which has since been erased from their site because they were embarrassed. See, science, which was natural philosophy, tried to discover truth apart from the Bible, and it failed. The science, which is a methodology, became scientism, which is a belief system, is today's religion. Scientism seeks to create a paradigm without God or his truth, Romans 1, 18 through 28. And modern education, even Christian education, is heavily influenced by scientism's worldview, by these 10 fallacies. That's me. My kids were all Christian school educated, and yet you talk to them and they sound slightly different than public school education, because you know what? For the last 20 years, the government, through the Department of Education, has been controlling all education, including Christian education. You can pander God all you want to in your little corner, but when you step out of the church into the world, you talk and act like everybody else in the world. And then you wonder why your kids don't come back to church when they're adults. Because they're confused. Let's look at Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2 of Daniel. Now, we're not going to go into great detail about it. We're not going to, because you need to go back to those lessons. But what we are going to look is that there was one image. It was not a living image. It was an artificial image. And it had five distinct parts. But it gives a literal representation of Satan and man's final goal, toward which all knowledge strives. This feat of iron and clay. As man gains technology, civilization becomes more debased. Now, we talked about this in a lot of detail, great amount of detail. From gold at the head to iron at the feet to iron and clay. He said, why would you build iron and clay as the foundation? Because it's not iron and clay as you think. This is a metaphor. If you built an actual image like this, it would never stand. Why would you put your heaviest metal and your softest metal at the top? It would just topple over. And your weakest material at the bottom, iron and clay, it would crack, brittle, break. It would never stand. So there must be something else going on here that we have missed throughout the two and a half millennia since Daniel wrote this. And to be honest, we would never have even imagined this in our wildest nightmares, except for the last two decades. The feet of iron is technology, and clay is man, but it's not man. And we know man because Adam, Hebrew word for man of creation, is composed of the Hebrew word dam, which is blood. And so Adam has blood, of course, we do. But he's made from Adama, which is the clay, the earth. And so those three Hebrew words, building and interconnecting amongst themselves, tell us. And God tells us that you are of the earth, and to the earth you will return because you chose to sin. And you sin, you die. And you die, you break down. But what is this not man? What is this? Well, we're going to touch on that in a moment. But this iron and clay is foundation. It's the goal of Satan's delusion. Remember the delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12. Creating man without God's image. That was always the goal. See, God made man in his image. Genesis 1, 27. Man retains elements of that, even in his fallen state. And we all know this because we're all born lost. And yet, this is one of the reasons Satan has difficulty controlling man, is because we're made more closely in God's image than the angels were. Satan being an angel. So he's having difficulty trying to understand us, because obviously he doesn't understand God very well. And he's sinned anyway, so his nature is corrupted. And it just doesn't work for him very well. He's in a process of learning, and we see this throughout the history, and we talked about this. But this sin, Genesis 3, 1 through 22, but specifically 1 through 7, where we have this first sin, was the first step to break man away from God's image. This is a very important concept to grasp. You might just want to stop for a couple of days and just meditate on that aspect alone. Man created both empirical material genes and non-empirical soul in man. We're both. Modern man sought to make genes better. Now, we talked about the modern age. We're about the 14th, 15th century down to today. That's the age of modernity. That's the age of reason. And of course, from the 19th century onward, man has been seeking to use scientism to disprove God. Geology. Hutton, the father of modern geology, set out preconception. His preconceived notion was to prove Noah's flood did not occur, that the Bible was wrong, that natural material evolutionary processes create everything we see. Lydell built on that. Darwin adapted that to the biological realm, and in the process was using that to explain why anglophiles were better. In other words, why some genes were better than other genes. And the Greek word for good is eu, or you. And so good genes are eugenes. You would know it better as eugenics. Now, it became a dirty word in World War II, and guess what? It changed to population control. And climate control. And finally, critical theory and critical race theory. And finally, disease control toward a built-in mechanistic gene alteration therapy is what is envisioned today. Now, we're not there yet. But let me tell you, they're working on it as hard and as fast as they can. The chemical biological control of mankind has distinct limitations. certain peoples resist, and others actually become uncontrollable and uncontrollably violent. You know, with this whole understanding of drugging children for ADHD, because psychology and psychiatry is a scientism. It's not a science. It's non-empirical. The mind, the soul. So the drug in everyone, because it has to be materialistic, right? That is their viewpoint. That is their fallacy. And yet some people don't respond well to chemical controls, and they break loose of the restraints. And every mass shooting since the mid or early 1980s has involved these drugs. They don't work. They need a better control mechanism. And they've been working on it, trust me. And of course, we've discussed throughout this that socialism is control. We have to understand that there is groups behind the scenes-ish. And when I say behind the scenes, I don't mean conspiratorial, sneak under the grass like a frog or a snake. I mean, they're just not advertising themselves, but they're well known. The financiers. These are the behind-the-scenes control of governments and corporatisms. It started with the Dutch and the English East India companies. Especially if you go read the history of money, or go to the YouTube channel of Best Evidence, where he does the reading for you about the history of money and how it's been. The history is clearly written down. How corporatism became the first corporation, the first central bank to coin money for government and introduce the boom and bust cycles. So, which they then claimed to control, but obviously not very well. This gave rise also to family financiers. Well, they were growing in other parts of Europe. The Medici banking family in Europe, the Rothschilds, as one of the European Jews family bankers. That was in Northern Europe. But these all merged into the conglomerate financiers of the 20th century. The Bank of International Settlements, the International Monetary Fund, and others of their ilk. And in the 20th and 21st century, you have these front groups that are bridging between the financiers, the governments, and the elites, and all are advocating for socialism. You had the Milner-Rhodes Roundtable Group. In America, they're called the Committee for Foreign Relations. In Europe, you had not only the Milner-Rhodes, but you also had the Fabian Society with its members. And its development not only of the labor parties, primarily of Great Britain, but of other areas too, this spread outward. But you also had the London School of Economics, which is basically Keynesian socialism economics. And from there you have Dr. Popper. And if you're not familiar with him, he taught George Soros, who developed reflexivity and fertile fallacies, both tools of lies and deceit to control you and is Open Society's foundation. Then you have the World Economic Forum advocating Building Back Better or the Great Reset internationally. And they're even writing books about it. They're not hiding anything. And government control, government is a puppet in this, to control the populations via socialism and scientism. You cannot teach non-evolutionary forensic science in schools today, public schools today in America, nor in any other developed country that I'm aware of. It's illegal. And research is government-controlled along approved lines of inquiry. CDC, Center for Disease Control, can't diagnose crap. National Institutes of Health means not invented here. And NASA, which is the materialistic evolutionary control of science space exploration. These are all scientisms today, masquerading as science. And the scientists then are their preachers and prophets. And their word is to preclude dissension. A scientist said, and we're supposed to stand in quiet awe as the truth is being spoken to us. How about governments as public health agents and the disease-vaccine link? Periodic infection disease pandemics have decimated populations throughout history. The Black Death in the 14th century decimated Europe. The Spanish flu in the early 20th century went around the world. Now, I name these two because everyone pretty much knows them if you know anything about pandemics, because these are always trotted out. And they were terrible pandemics. Tons of thousands died. And it spurred, in modernity, the public health movement. But along with that came government force, government control, such as Typhoid Mary. She's seeding cholera. She will not stay away from public areas. They threw her in prison. No trial. Just prison. Because that's what government does. Government deals in one commodity, force. It defines morality, because that's what laws do. They define what is good, what is bad, and assign punishments. I'd be interested in getting emails from anybody who's ever been pulled over by a policeman and given a commendation for doing the speed limit. Because that's not what they do. Governments enforce morality and punishment when you transgress that morality. And then the lost whine about the 10 words of God. And he lets them go. The government health agency sought to prevent disease deaths. Now, it's a laudable goal. No, not against it. As long as it's done appropriately. Well, smallpox vaccines were done unethically by modern standards. The guy noticed that milkmaids were getting cowpox, but not getting smallpox, and he took and scratched the pox's pustules on the cow's udder and injected it into his son and his son's friend several times. And guess what? They got cowpox. They didn't get smallpox. Hooray! And vaccines were born. Of course, he also seeded tuberculosis in both young men who were in their mid-teens, and they both died in their early 20s. Childhood diseases with their vaccines, measles, mumps, chickenpox, polio, etc., proliferate today. Polio vaccines have a sordid history. Measles and mumps. Whooping cough. Pretty much well controlled, if not almost eradicated in developed nations. So there's upsides and downsides to these vaccines. But we're never told about the downsides. And like I said, polio vaccines have a sordid history even today. But since the 1980s, government viral experiments have weaponized viral infections to develop specific vaccines causing less lethal, as they've redefined the term pandemic, pandemics. In other words, pandemic for Black Death and Spanish flu killed, and killed by the tens of thousands. But today, you can have a pandemic and have 1 or 2% of the people who get infected die. Period. You count by the cases. And we've seen these since the mid-1980s. Again and again and again. And we see it because they've weaponized viruses. And they've done it, and then this, we did it with the HIV/AIDS. Of course, all this came out after the Bayh-Dole Bill of 1980, in which government workers could now apply for patents for their research that taxpayers have been paying for. So now they were getting rich off your tax dollars. And because of your tax dollars. And thus, they only promote the medicines that grow out of their research. Now, is that a conflict of interest or what? And governments have a history of experimentation on their populations. Nazi Germany. Hirohito's Japan. 20th century America. Experimented without telling people that they were being experimented on by blowing yellow fever into the air. By not treating syphilis, to watch how it progressed and see what was treatments were effective and which were not. LSD on prisoners and military, and mass psych drug prescriptions so that the world population is now unethically involved in an uncontrolled, unregulated, pretty much undocumented experiment on psych drug control. Well, guess what? In this current round, I said there's the HIV/AIDS link, there was also SARS-1, there was MERS, and now SARS-2, there have been a couple others in there too. What they did is they took these viruses, coronaviruses, which are very common in nature, and they took and they altered them, they weaponized them so that they became unnatural. They would not have developed and did not develop these certain characteristics on their own through evolution, their own philosophy. So they altered them, weaponized them, and they either let them loose or they got out and created these pandemics, these far less lethal casedemics, which they then rushed to develop vaccines for, and they were making profit on both ends. Well, in the COVID-2, they started with mRNA vaccines, messenger RNA vaccines. So now they're going in and using your cells to produce proteins that they've designed, not so you don't get sick, because it's not that kind of vaccine. I refuse to call it a vaccine. It is an injection to mitigate some of the symptoms, but it also makes you a reservoir for mutations. And so the vast number of vaccinated, injected people are now the source of these mutations. But the mRNA causes cells to produce designed proteins, which at best have unintended consequences. And so we have young people who were healthy, and were going to be healthy, whether they got it or not, the numbers, and it's tragic whenever anybody dies, obviously. But in the overall scale, the number of deaths percentage-wise of under 60 population is 0.00 whatever number you want to pick, because it don't matter at that zero, at that third mark, deaths. But from their experimental mRNA vaccines, far more have died. Far more have been disabled. Far more have now permanent damage because their cells have been weaponized. It's cardiomyopathy and other things. And some of their supposed cure drugs, remdesivir, causes total system failure. See, and they force all ages to be vaccinated, which reeks of unethical genetic experimentation. Now, I'm not saying they're doing genetic alteration right now. I'm saying we'll never know when they flip that switch to do so. They're just working the bugs out of the delivery system. And they're not even telling you what's in there. We had a whistleblower last week which said, well, they Pfizer inoculated or started with human fetal tissue from aborted babies. They're not going to tell you that. Japan discovered their vaccines were contaminated with medical particles. Moderna is being... Europeans, surprisingly, are even refusing to inoculate anybody with Moderna anymore. What am I saying here? I'm saying governments in the modern age have a terrible reputation. They have a terrible track record. They have been captured by these forces. And their goal, their stated goal, is transhumanism. As I said at the very beginning of the slide, to go from Homo sapien, which is the rational man, to Homo Deus, which is the God-man. That's their goal. That is their stated goal. Transhumanism is a class of philosophies of life that seek the continuation and acceleration of the evolution of intelligent life beyond its currently human form and human limitations by means of science and technology, guided by life-promoting principles and values that they define. And they're constantly defining your values and redefining your values. They've been doing this for 40 years since publication of After the Ball. Transhumanism is the 20th and 21st century's goal of erasing death, and achieving immortality, to cheat the judgment for sin, the first and especially that second death. It seeks to combine in some fashion technology, which is iron, and nanotechnology with flesh, both are clays. Believe it or not, a lot of the semiconductors and a lot of the new nanotech are made out of clays, clay-like materials. Earth. Elon Musk combined implanted electrodes in animal brains. And he displayed this on a stage. And guess what? The public health big pharma corporations may be modifying genetics and possibly using nanotechnology to achieve the immortal man. Now, we're not going to know this, but you would know it originally in its original form as Prometheus or Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, where they tried to use medical science, but medical technology just is never going to be up to that level. So now they've jumped it. And remember, Daniel's fourth beast terrified him. You turn to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong, had great iron teeth and devoured in broken pieces and stomped on what was left with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it. Why was it different? Because it was not a natural animal. It was not natural. It was not of nature. It was something different. And it was controlled by the little horn, also unnatural, which had eyes and spoke. And these regional governments, because national sovereignty is breaking down and being recombined into socialistic regional systems under the auspices of one grand overarching system, such is the case, or the goal anyway. The regional governments compete to develop their own transhuman forms to prevent the others from gaining ascendancy. And of course, this is satanic evolutionary materialism. It's what Satan does. You go to chapters 11 and 12, you see how he pits one against the other, trying to weed out the weaknesses and develop the strengths, because Satan is all about materialistic evolutionary survival of the fittest. His goal is posthumanism, the ultimate materialism, the false evolution. The posthumanists, sometimes called transhumanists, because people like to conflate the terms to keep you confused, views human dignity as a matter of seizing the opportunity to modify and enhance human nature in ways that include the deacceleration or arresting of aging through genetic engineering, the bodily introduction of nanotechnology and cybernetics, the reproductive cloning, and even the downloading of the mind into immortalizing computers, making you immortal. Why was Daniel terrified? Because it wasn't natural. See, ancient idolatry envisioned elements of creation as representations or foci for worship of gods, animals, man. When in actuality, they're worshiping Satan and demons. Deuteronomy 32:17, 1 Corinthians 10:20. Traditionally, the image of the beast was a vision, is simply another idol. But what if it's not? What if those others, Satan's goal from the very beginning was to get mankind used to looking at something that was not natural? Now God said, it doesn't move. It doesn't have breath. It doesn't speak. It doesn't see. It doesn't move. It doesn't do nothing. Well, Satan's goal is to make it do something. See, Satan was always envisioned as an animal. From the very beginning, he's the dragon, or the worm, or the serpent, or the Leviathan. In the Hebrew, they're all the same word except for a Leviathan. And Revelation 12:9 says, he is that dragon of old. And sinners are his worms, according to Matthew 22:13, where you're bound hand and foot and tossed into lake of fire. Or in Mark 9:48, where their worm dies not, because remember John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, a liar and a murderer. So the ultimate abomination of man is not just as an animal, and it's not just as being a sinner in rebellion against God. The degradation of sin is all-inclusive. Man's sin is exchanging the human body for a transhuman, post-human form. The ultimate worship of the creature over the Creator. Romans 1, 21. See, Romans 1, 21. Through 25. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were dark, and claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God, that's being made in the image of God, for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their own hearts to impurity, dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The ultimate form of worship is self-worship, but not the self-worship in the image of God, because it dies. Everybody dies. They want to stop that. This is the abomination, the ultimate rejection of God's image for a mechanistic, literally, evolutionistic, indestructible form that can be repaired forever. That is their goal. That has always been their goal. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? Of course, we're in 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 3. Ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, they're lying. And if they're not lying to themselves, they're definitely lying to you. And Peter is calling them on it, and he says, what? That's not what the Bible said. They deliberately overlook, remember Hutton? They deliberately overlook this fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of the water, through water, and was deluged with water. And changed. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. They have rejected being made in the image of God. It is fallible. It is weak. It needs repair. They can't fix it because sin, it dies. That is a blessing from God. Because you can't live in eternity future in this body of flesh. And this current creation is not going to last forever. Not according to the Bible. So what are you going to do? Now, their foolishness is that, well, if we live forever, God will have to keep the creation. Well, God doesn't exist. Creation will just go on forever. No, it won't. Your fallacies will never become truth. This transhumanism, posthumanism, this is the abomination that completely desolates you. Thus, the desolating abomination, the beast, the little horn, the Antichrist, all labels for the same person, he commits this desolating abomination. The beast is mortally in the flesh wounded. Revelation 13. Yet, through the auspices of the false prophet, who is both religious and obviously scientism type of leader, guide, scientist, the Antichrist, through his power, his influence, his work, lives. Hit a mortal wound. Now, that means he dead. You don't survive a mortal wound, obviously, or it's not a mortal wound. If I was clear, it is a mortal wound. He dead. Yet he lived. Hey, you go watch the movies, and they say, well, he was miraculously healed. Well, no, God heals miraculously. That's not what they're doing. The Antichrist lives because the false prophet gives breath, life to the idol, the cyborg, the shell housing the consciousness of the beast. Some degree of flesh may remain. We don't know what that will entail if it's not here. This abomination enters the Holy of Holies, declaring himself as the ultimate evolution of man, that is, God. Leaders, representatives of the governments, bow to this abomination or die. Remember, three of the horns are ripped up, totally decimated immediately. And their populations will follow suit because citizens receive some form of implantable device that monitors their loyalty and immediately determines, remember Pavlov, rewards and punishments and life and death, buy and sell. You don't have to stand before that beast. You're going to be implanted. You're going to be connected into a network. They're going to know right off. And for good thoughts will be rewarded. Intense pleasure. Bad thoughts, wrong thoughts will be immediately punished. It will not be pleasant. And how are you going to sneak around? It knows where you're at. It knows what you're doing. And with central bank digital currency, it controls what you can buy and sell. And you say, no, you can't buy that book. No, you can't go here. No, you have to buy this kind of food. Or, no, you're not loyal. You don't get to buy food. You don't get medicine. That is where we're going. Now, the true Jews preach Christ's salvation while man lines up to receive their transhuman reward and rejecting God in every aspect. In closing, the age of reason is unreasonable. You know, we've defined and talked about transhuman and posthuman, but we haven't talked about humanism. Humanism is a democratic and ethical life stance which affirms that human beings have the right and responsibility to give meaning and shape to their own lives. It stands for the building of a more humane society through an ethics based on human and other natural values in a spirit of reason and free inquiry through human capability. It is not theistic, and it does not accept supernatural views of reality. In other words, it is materialistic, evolutionary, empirical, and it is a fallacy. It is an abomination. modern age is based on Greco-Roman, the third and fourth levels of the statue. Truth. And I italicize that because we really mean lies. Supposedly, apart from ancient idolatry, which is the first two levels, to become the age of reason. Secular humanism, man is the measure of all. And yet reason demonstrated by the French Revolution that it not only worshipped ancient paganistic forms, idols, but threw off all limitations to achieve its socialistic goals. And remember, it did so by mass murder, the guillotine. And socialism, as implemented in the 20th century, did exactly the same thing. Soviet Union killed over 23 million of its own citizens. Communist China's surpassed it. Even the minor players like Pol Pot, Khmer Rouge, and Cambodia, over a million. But all governments in the 20th century were socialistic, even America. The progressive era was the transformation of America from a republic to a democracy via national socialism. Marx took Hegelianism philosophy, materialized it, to develop his socialistic economic philosophy that failed. It was revived by Gramsci, the Fabian Society of the Frankfurt School, to become today's critical theory. Darwinism, built on Lyell's and Hutton's anti-God geological work, to develop materialistic biological evolution, to explain and exploit eugenics, that never died out. It's going on today. These two arms pervaded all other observational sciences until all became linked to scientism. God does not exist. That is their philosophy. But God is non-empirical. How do they know? So to make that statement, they lie. Scientism is not empirical. It's non-empirical, making it a religion, not a science. Thus, the 20th century proved that material socialism by force was expensive and largely unsuccessful. But the Milner Rhodes, Fabian's, Gramsci and Frankfurt schools of socialism became the model for the successful distillation of power into elitist hands. All 20th century developed countries governed by some form of socialism, and that'd be America. Also, world wars were simply wars for control of one ethnicity over all others, or by one ethnicity over all others. And it's still true today. That white supremacy stuff. Well, we disavow white supremacy. Well, who's saying all that? Whites. Now, I don't see any of them giving up their money or their position or their power or their prestige. So what are they doing? They're telling you a lie. The international crises, bringing everyone together-ish, established via man-made pandemics to promote early stages of large-scale cell manipulation or genetic manipulation. The informational educational sectors trained people to accept and force public health measures onto all people. Rejectors are ostracized, and limited care has been proposed. In other words, you're going to be part of our great experiment or you're going to die. We're not going to kill you. Everyone's going to hate you. And they do. I work in the healthcare industry. And you know what I hear? I hear people saying it's right not to give people care. They don't want that injection. They don't get nothing. And that's becoming more a reality every day. You'll either take the kind of body we want you to have, and we're just experimenting. But they're hoping to achieve something in their own lifetime so that they can live forever. The Borg. And yet, what does God do? God gives us new bodies. Satan just copies God. He doesn't do anything original. God told Habakkuk to write it down so that all who run can read and understand God's word. Man developed complex written forms, cuneiform, for example. Only a few could learn and use. But God, through Joseph, developed simple alphabetical systems that all could learn and use and read. Satan man restricts knowledge to the few, while God propagates truth to everyone. No one has an excuse for ignorance. Daniel laid the foundation, revealing how Satan, man, Antichrist, false prophet, will usher in a world without God, transhuman world of the Borg. The Borg's model is transhumanism's model. Resistance is futile. We will add your distinctives to our own and punish you when you don't, because that's what the Borg did. If you resisted, you were eliminated. You will service us. Satan copying God poorly. Entertainment is propaganda, preparing the world for the nightmare to come. It terrified Daniel. It should terrify us. Except God, the church, will be raptured. The saved will receive new bodies for eternity with Christ, his promise for all. Now, I want us to gather and understand this difference, this duality, this terrible, terrifying abomination of mechanistic and electronic nanotech flesh that stands there and says, this is the high point of evolution. And you have been propagandized to accept that. People line up. But God says, I will make you a new body, totally new. Not out of these leftover parts and stuff. In eternity future that you will spend with me. The choice is clear. No wonder Daniel was terrified. This is the abomination that desolates. And it's what people want, because who didn't want to live forever? Yeah, you don't need medicines. You just need implants. You just need stuff. You just need a world without God. That is their dystopia. And we'd rather die and have the rocks fall on them and crush them than face God. And me also, if I was not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So this is Daniel speaking to us today about our world and where it might be going. I hope you are unsettled. I hope it makes you think. I hope it drives you into the scriptures. Thank you.